Harper Wave and Harper Audio present Who is Wellness For? An examination of wellness culture and who it leaves behind by Fariha Roshin. Read by the author. This is dedicated to Samia, my apu. You saved me. This is for my comrades and to land, earth, and water protectors and defenders. Thank you. We are in a space without a map, unshifting ground, where old habits and old scenarios no longer apply. In Tibetan Buddhism, such a space or gap between known worlds is called a bardo. It is frightening. It is also a place for potential transformation. Joanna Macy. This is a work of nonfiction. The events and experiences detailed herein are all true and have been faithfully rendered as I have remembered them to the best of my ability. Some names, identities, and circumstances have been changed in order to protect the anonymity of the various individuals involved. Though conversations come from my keen recollection of them, they are not written to represent word-for-word documentation. Rather, I've retold them in a way that evokes the real feeling and meaning of what was said in keeping with the true essence of the mood and spirit of the event. Introduction. My life, alongside my wellness journey, has been an uncomfortable uttering at times. I find most inner work for and about the self, especially in realms of healing, to be inordinately excruciating. We expect life-altering transformation in a weekend's worth of work, just a skip, jump, and a head-first butt into evolution. But what they won't tell you is this game of healing is a messy business. It requires a tenacity of self, a willingness to walk into the fire again and again. True healing means that, at some point, you're willing to die, cyclically, only to be resurrected as your truest self. It's an understanding that the journey doesn't end. You don't just one day find enlightenment, much like how you don't just arrive at happiness. It's not a destination as much as it is a state of being that needs consistency, as well as a desire to adapt. To become, again and again and again, this state of unraveling is the nexus point for change. I'm one of those rare masochists who loves hard work. My specific astrological placements would explain that through my Capricorn stellium, i.e., specific placements that have determined my love of climbing a never-ending mountain, right to the top, dedicated to the self and evolution, with a reverential hunger for spiritual edification. I always played it off as a quirk, but in recent years, as I've come to understand myself more wholly, I've begun to question what came first. Was it nature or nurture that made me so determined to get better, be better? Sadly, the more I unpacked that question, the fractured layers of a childhood I was so quick to forget, eject, and escape became clearer. Some of us, maybe many more than are willing to admit, don't have pleasant memories of our childhoods to return to. The more I sought answers in my own life, the more the question became more global. If a lot of us can relate to immensely traumatic childhoods, what does that say about us as a species, as a society? Shouldn't this warrant more questioning and investigation? When I was young, I thought I was the only kid with a bad life. I saw other children have simpler family dynamics, yet all I knew was raging catastrophe. Violence was a norm because I had a mentally ill parent and my days were saturated by my mother's shrill screams. If I wanted freedom, it wasn't worth challenging.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?